Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke with Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind. I feel like we should have like a monastic chant behind that when we're saying that. But anyway, what we're doing here is hopefully like visiting a monastery where you get to talk with folks who spend a lot of their life and time engaging in the teachings of the mystics of the church, which we do by God's grace. Mm-hmm. And we're grateful to share that with you and converse with you and connect with you on the questions you have about how it is that we grow more deeply in our intimacy with God.
Right.
All right. So let's jump into questions.
Okay. This question comes from Dominic, and his question is, what is the difference between the active and passive nights that John of the Cross teaches about?
So this is a long conversation, but there's a lot of false teaching or misunderstanding of John's teaching in this area. Some people think that the dark night is just one period, and it's not. And what John teaches, particularly this is clear in the Ascent of Mount Carmel, is that the moment you choose to truly follow Jesus, you enter into the passive or the active night of the Spirit, active night, active. The active night is called active, you can think of it, because you are active. Mm-hmm. You are active.
You're pursuing the Lord.
You're pursuing the Lord, and he gives you specific prescriptions on what to do in terms of, one, focusing on Jesus in mental prayer and emulating him. Two, beginning to practice ascetical disciplines of denying yourself, which Jesus said, of course, take up your cross and deny yourself if you're going to be my disciple. So that's the active night, and that goes on. So a broader framework within which we understand these nights is the purgative, illuminative, and unitive ways. Mm-hmm. Those are the three phases of the spiritual life. The active night begins in the purgative way when you begin to fight against habitual mortal or venial sin. You begin to exercise daily mental prayer. You're frequenting the sacraments more appropriately, all of that.
And so in essence, what you're saying is the active night begins when we step onto the narrow way.
It does begin. Right. When we really say yes to Jesus, not just going to Mass, but really digging in. Yeah. So then the passive night begins near around the end of the purgative way. So there's no more habitual sin, mortal or venial. There's been years of mental prayer. Mm-hmm. Prayer begins to simplify, and you enter into typically what we understand as the aridity that leads to contemplation. So it's an aridity, a stripping away of the great feelings we had in prayer in the interior life before. And then it begins, essentially we enter into the desert, which is typically called the dark night. It's not necessarily proper, but it's that transition between the purgative and the illuminative phases of the interior life, where we move from the active night to the passive, and what's passive about it is you. So essentially all you're doing is yielding and staying and right. engaged. Right. Whereas before you're very aggressively fighting against sin, those and exercising yourself in spiritual disciplines. Mm-hmm. Here you maintain those disciplines, but the primary work now is being done by God, not by you.
Right.
And so that's called a passive night. And so in the active night, we have purifications. We have, you know, there's a lot of changes that occur in the purgative way in terms of orienting our heart and mind to God and our lives, changing who our friends are, what kind of things that we consume in media, you know, how we live, how we worship, all of that.
Right.
In the passive night, there comes a purifications that are not in our control. The active night, a lot of it's in our control. In the passive night, it's not in our control. So right. it can be a deep trial. You know, it's wrong to think, you shouldn't think, and this is a really difficult or problematic misuse of the night, is when we use the night as a synonym for a difficult time.
Right.
You can have a really, really, really difficult time in the early purgative stage that is not the dark night or the passive night, right? So it could just be you sinned a lot and the consequences are crashing down on you, or you're being attacked for something because the world is bad and difficult and, you know, people can be evil and you're being attacked. Just because you're suffering doesn't mean it's a night. However, suffering can be brought about, or the night can be brought about in and through suffering. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. And I think it's part of it is the disposition of heart, right?
Yeah.
Because whatever happens to us in the suffering, if we're responding with that fiat, with that, Lord, I surrender to you, I want to be on the narrow way, I want to follow you, then he can take that trial, that suffering, and it can be efficacious for our salvation.
Sure.
Versus, I'm just struggling here, I'm on the struggle bus, and I don't want to be on this struggle bus, right?
And that is an early purgative attitude.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Or perspective.
Right. So that fiat, that desire to be on the narrow way, to follow the Lord, is where all this work starts to really be efficacious and really be for our benefit, for our salvation, for our purification, for everything.
Yeah.
Where the Lord can really work with it. Because the thing is he is a gentle guest. He's a polite guest. He will not force it on us.
Right.
And a lot of those trials and that being on that struggle bus are what's happening because of the choices we've made. The Lord has not left us, but he's allowed it, the effect of that to burden us, so that we can see what life without him looks like.
Right.
And it's horrible.
Yeah.
We need to be with him. So it's an invitation so that we can enter into this active night, so that we can participate, so we can start to say, I don't want to be on the struggle bus anymore. I want to follow the Lord. So I get on this narrow way. The active night starts to take over. And then at a certain point through that desert period, the Lord draws us into where he starts to really pour out the graces, and the passive night begins.
Yeah.
And where you know that you're going on the right, in the right direction, is if you're growing in virtue.
Right.
If your sin is dying away and it's falling away, and you're growing in virtue.
And you're growing in love, you're heading the right way.
Right.
The key in terms of exiting the purgative into the illuminative is, of course, God has to do that. But you've done all the work against sin by with his help and his grace.
Right.
You no longer have habitual sin. Your prayer for years in daily meditation, same time, not petition, but just learning to just love and be with the Lord, it moves into the prayer of silence or simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
And then you begin, the passive purification begins with the sensible exit of God. He doesn't actually exit, but your perception of him goes completely away, and then you're typically experience quite profound suffering and purification in the passive night, all for the sake of drawing you to him and purifying you and stripping you. And that can be physical suffering, it could be emotional suffering, it could be attacks, it could be calumny, it could be accusations, all kinds of things,
right?
Like that.
Rejoice, Lord is near.
Those in and of themselves are not the night,
right?
But if other conditions, right, the underlying conditions are there, those, God will use those things to purify us and bring us ever more deeply into union with him.
Yep. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
That's the secret.
Okay.
Can I have my pen?
So the next question comes from Michael, and he asks, do you think it's necessary to reach union with Christ to be a saint? Do you think all martyred saints reach the union?
So union with Christ, and I asked, I also asked Michael a follow-up question. Union with Christ is, in its simplest way of understanding, is that our will is united with God's will. Our will and his will is one. So there, when you're earlier on in the purgative stage, to continue with that analogy, You have a will, and it's separate and distinct from God's will, right? And that looks like mortal sin and all kinds of mess and all the kinds of difficulty.
I want what I want.
I want what I want.
Right.
So you have a will, and then there's a divine will. It's what God wants for you. Mm-hmm. So as you begin to grow spiritually and move toward Him, you begin to throw off or shrug off or get rid of things that are not His will and adopt things that are His will.
Right. You kind of move into this period of, I want to want what you want.
Right.
Right.
And, right. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. I don't want what you want is the beginning.
The beginning is I want what I want.
Right. Right. And the converse
I don't want what
you
want.
Now I kind of
so
want what you
into,
want.
I want to want what you want.
Right.
So I'm still struggling, right. You know, with my own flesh and all of that. And then union is I want
what you want and nothing else.
Right. Right.
Nothing
right.
else.
And that is what it is to be a saint.
Right. So his question is, do you think it's necessary to reach union with Christ to be a saint? Yeah, it isn't. It's impossible.
To do otherwise.
So do you think that all martyred saints reach union? And the answer is yes, there are different degrees of union, right? So I think the Fatima children are a great example. They're very young. And they received a lot of graces in that period that were very unusual. I think they're the youngest saints.
Yeah, extraordinary. Like even accepting the death that was going to be given to them,
right.
Knowing they would, you know, I think it was Jacinta who died alone.
Right.
And she was given some sort of idea that she was going to die alone of the Spanish flu, I think.
Yeah. So one of the marks of a saint is heroic virtue.
Right.
And martyrdom or facing martyrdom like, you know, St. Teresa Benedicta.
Right. Or and you know, if you think about the poor those men who died at the hands of the Islamists several years ago, died on the beach.
Oh yeah, their heads were cut off. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, in that moment they chose Christ.
Yeah.
So their wills, you know, were in union with God, because if they hadn't been, they would have said, no, I apostatize. I choose some other way to save my life. But when you say, I want what you want, Lord, and I give up my own will to be in union with you, that is a saint.
And their wills were united in a heroic way.
Right.
Because they were facing death.
Yeah.
So, well said. That's a good example. Horrifying example, but a good one.
Yeah.
And God rests their souls. So, I think we're going to be heading to a break. We don't have time for the next one. But when we get back, we'll continue with your questions. And in the meantime, make sure you head out to avila-institute.com and also spiritualdirection.com. Spiritualdirection.com has all of our past shows,
right. All
of our past recordings, and thousands of articles. Our events are listed there, where we're going next.
Right, right, right. Blog, podcasts.
Videos,
everything.
Yeah.
If you want to grow spiritually, head out there.
There you go. We'll be right back. Hey friends, this is Dan Burke. If you are blessed by the work of Divine Intimacy Radio, if we've helped you with your spiritual life through spiritualdirection.com, or if you want to join in and change the world through the Avila Institute High Calling Program, where we're now forming men in more than 5 dioceses around the country to enter into seminary to be holy priests, please consider helping us out with a monthly donation. Go to avila-institute.org, click on the donate button, and give us a hand if you would.
If you've always wanted to delve into the richness of the spiritual lives of the saints, the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation offers you the unique opportunity to learn more about Catholic spiritual theology through live, interactive online courses. Whether you are seeking personal enrichment, continuing education, or a graduate certificate in spiritual theology, the Avila Institute can help. Just go to www.avila-institute.com to start your spiritual journey today.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest. Hey, I want to tell you guys something kind of cool. So we've mentioned this on Facebook, but we bought an RV. Mm-hmm. Reason we bought it is because we're not doing planes, trains, and automobiles anymore. I guess we're doing RV, but we're not doing restaurants, hotels, rental cars.
Right.
Before I even got COVID, my health was in decline anyway. Mm-hmm. So the Lord provided a way for us to get a new RV. We'll be pulling a trailer, and all the events we're going to, so we give retreats, marriage retreats. Mm-hmm. We give, talks for women. Mm-hmm. Spirituality, and not just for women, because you're capable of doing any of that. I do many retreats on Into the Deep, on prayer.
Mm-hmm. I do for educators as well.
Educators. We've done all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And then also many retreats or half-day retreats or so on discernment of spirits, mm-hmm. on my latest book, Spiritual Warfare and the Discernment of Spirits. So
Nights of Reflection.
Nights of Reflection.
We have it to offer to help you grow.
Right. Yeah. I mean, really, God be praised, all the things that we can provide. So instead of flying and all of that, we're going to be driving now. So mm-hmm. that means, so if you go out to our events page on spiritualdirection.com, click on events, and you see an event near you, what we're trying to do is if you're 2 hours or more away from that event, we'd be happy to even maybe add one because we are driving.
Right.
So we're going to be able to spend more time with God's people, whereas when you have a plane flight, you can't change it. You got to run to the airport.
Yeah. Kind of like St. Paul on wheels is what my deacon dad said.
Yeah, well, maybe so, right? But I call it a chapel on wheels,
right?
Right? Because there's going to be a lot of prayer in there, hours and hours a day of
webinars on wheels.
Webinars on wheels.
Office on
radio
wheels.
Radio on wheels.
Right. Prayer on wheels.
Right. So anyway, so pray for us and go out to the events page if you want us to visit your parish and provide a retreat. You can, is there a little button on there where they can host, to click on host a retreat?
They can, yes, they can communicate with Kristen Priola, our events coordinator, and she can help coordinate that and figure it out.
Great.
Okay.
So check that out. So we're kind of excited about that.
Okay.
And you can follow us out on Facebook, but we'll be giving more private information about what we're doing and more reflections on our site, apostoliva.org, our community site, apostoliva.org. It's spelled how it sounds.
Yeah. Okay. So our next question comes from Anatalia. Oh, I love your name.
Yeah.
What is the best, religious life or spiritual or mystical?
Yeah. So these categories are interesting. The best life, this is really important, Anatalia, listen very closely. The best out of those is the one that God calls you to.
That's right.
Right.
I was going to say the same exact thing.
I knew that.
Right.
I knew that.
Right.
So what does that mean?
Well, that means is that we need to, first of all, we need to strive to be holy. And listening to the earlier questions about entering into the active night, the passive night, you know, mm-hmm. according to St. John of the Cross, what does that look like practically? You know, that's one thing. We need to enter into that because why? Because that helps us to discern God's voice. That helps us to understand what is he asking of us. Discernment of spirits helps mm-hmm. us to discern what is he asking of us, what is my vocation, what direction does he want me to take. And then that helps us understand where are the giftings that he gives me as an individual best going to suit his purpose. Because if my human will is completely in union with God's will, then I'm going to want what he wants,
right?
Which is I'm going to want to cooperate with his mission for me.
Yeah.
So my mission is different than your mission, even right. though we're walking together and they are they're like merged, but we also have parallel missions. We have one mission in our marriage, and then we also have parallel in our individual charisms and how they play out in the service to others, right? And so, but each individual has their own mission. Our son Jordan is now discovering his mission.
Yeah.
So that's starting to come out. So he's listening to the Lord. What are you asking of me? Where is it bearing fruit? I have to tell you, there is a really, and I'll give her a shout out because I think they have such wonderful work in this area, is the St. Catherine of Siena Institute. And it is their work on the charism on called and gifted.
Yeah.
So that's a good way to help figure out where is God working, you know, in my life, where am I seeing his His Holy Spirit working through me and bearing fruit, and that helps us as well decide which direction we're supposed to go.
And no matter what calling you have, you will be religious, spiritual, and mystical.
Right.
Eventually. Okay.
That's right.
So flip it over. Before we go today, I want to answer a question from a woman that I hold in very high esteem, Lila Marie Lawler, and her husband, Phil Lawler, and the folks over at CatholicCulture.org. Awesome website. Mm-hmm. Fantastic resources, totally faithful to the magisterium. And really, her husband is a bit of a hero of mine in the sense of his constant fight for orthodoxy for such a long time.
God bless him, yeah.
Yeah, and so Lila Marie has written an amazing book. We've actually interviewed her on Divine Intimacy Radio, mm-hmm. called The Little Oratory, which will help you. You know, back to Lauren's question about how do I deal with my fears in the future and my family. Buy the book, The Little Oratory, and then begin to build that reality in your home,
right.
And your kids are much more likely to come to a deeper relationship with the Lord and the church that will sustain them. But anyway, she had a question that if you could read that okay. I thought we'd answer before we close up today.
So Lila Marie asks, what is the role of purgation in the spiritual life and why have we abandoned it?
So purgation is another word for ascesis or the exercise that of self-denial. Mm-hmm. You know, the role of purgation of self-denial is to say no to everything that keeps us from God and then fill that same space with everything that leads us to God.
In the words of Jesus, take up your cross and follow me.
Right, take up your right. cross and follow me. So that means put down the gaming, put down the other junk, put down the television, put down, you know, whatever your addictions or proclivities are or whatever it is that binds you, whatever the sin is, put that away and take up your cross.
And follow
crucify
me.
That,
right.
your desire to do those destructive things and follow me. So fundamentally, purgation is necessary to
for
get to heaven.
Salvation. Yep.
For our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, Jesus died to pay the price for our sins, but that doesn't take away the work that we have to do to cooperate with him.
Well, and to say it another way, how necessary it is, there is no salvation
right.
without the cross. So there is. So what is the role of purgation in the spiritual life?
Right.
It's at its core. It's our essence of how we become saved.
Yeah.
By denying our flesh, by picking up that cross, following the Lord. Without it, there is no salvation. There is no quick way in.
Another view of this is purgation is about subjugating our lower nature to our intellect, which is oriented to God, and a purification of that, and our will mm-hmm. purified, which then gives a proper channel, if you will, for our lower nature to follow. Whereas without that purgation, your lower nature rules you. So
right.
all of the seven deadly sins as they manifest in your life are your God to the degree that you follow them. And
yeah.
purgation is flipping that and saying, no, you're not going to be master, you're going to be servant to the will of God, and I choose that, now that's my will, and to the right way of thinking, the intellect orientation to God. So why have we abandoned it? That's her
yeah.
second
yeah,
question.
And I think we have to qualify that. I mean, certainly I know a lot of good souls who have not abandoned that. They're kissing their cross.
Well,
you know,
we hang out in a pretty amazing group of people in
Apostoli. Right. I mean,
VA.
Apostoli VA, you know, we're all have the marks on our backs from carrying that cross.
Right.
We can recognize each other, you know, by the bruises on our shoulders as we drag around our crosses, but we also help one another carry them.
Right.
We help one another see clearly. That's why community is so important. I think, you know, if we've, I had a priest one time tell me that we have lost generations to poor catechesis.
Yeah.
So if you want to say, why have we abandoned it? I believe it's two things. It's the rise of sin
right.
and self.
Failure to preach against sin too, by
sin,
the way.
Sin, and then the lack of catechesis, which yeah. includes the preaching.
Right.
The clarity from our pastors. Why have we not received that? You know, every time that I hear a homily that doesn't actually say a whole lot of anything,
or call me to anything,
or call me or challenge me or inspire me to something, You know, I think the enemy's just kind of making everything just milquetoast.
Yeah.
And we have to say, okay, you know, in some ways, if we can't get it, we need to search for it. There are wonderful resources anymore on the internet. So the internet can be our worst enemy. It can be the tool of Satan and you know, multiplying that sin. Or we can use it, and certainly it is being used for the work of God to help us understand how to pick up our cross, to be called to a better self, and to find community, especially if we're in some serious bad areas or if we're isolated, to help us understand how to enter into that narrow way.
Yeah, and you know, why have we abandoned it is such a huge question. Yeah. But basically it's unbelief. It's an abandoning of the teachings of the church, the historic teachings of the church.
Sin.
It's sin. It's licentiousness. Sin. But it's like a pandemic in the church, unfortunately,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there's a lack of belief. I think, you know, I had somebody write me and say, now we pray for and support good priests all the time and good bishops, so we're not priest bashing here, but I had someone write me and say, my priest doesn't believe in Eucharistic adoration, you know.
Yeah.
When things like
I mean,
that
that's
occur.
Horrific.
Right. So what?
And
where is
heartbreaking.
What is your faith in, and where is your faith? Right?
Right
now, of course, the laity have plenty of problems too, but the key is that purgation. To understand it, it's a saying no to the flesh, no mm-hmm. to our lower nature, no to our will and desires that are not oriented to God, and yes to God. And it's that activity, and it's, you know. Find a good community, it'll help you, as you mentioned. So
right.
All right, so we're going to wrap up for today. Please keep us in your prayer as we head out onto the road. Mm-hmm. Please give us a shout if you want us to visit your parish. We'd
check
love
out
to
the events.
Check out the events page at spiritualdirection.com.
Right.
And if you want some help with a lot of spiritual issues, avila-institute.com, spiritualdirection.com, apostolivier.org. Endless resources to help you to heaven.
Right. Okay. Well, until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.